and welcome to this CENTCOM podcast, Operation Impact, addressing the daily struggles of the frontline manager. My guest today is Bob Furness. As a popular speaker and highly regarded consultant, Bob has guided thousands of frontline managers to improve their personal and team performance. Bob is part of an elite group of independent consultants who is certified by the ICMI, the International Customer Management Institute. He is also a member of the National Speakers Association and has authored two books. His most recent book, Ideas at Work, Powerful Ideas to Transform Your Contact Center, has been called a simple read and powerful impact by industry critics. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. Good morning, Randy.
Well, Bob, I know you work with a lot of call centers across the country. What are some of the consistent issues that you see as a consultant and as a speaker?
You know, the one that I hear the most in the call center world is the issue of turnover, and I hear people talk about how do they manage retention, how do they hang on to their employees. Probably another one that comes to the top from time to time is technology issues. How do I make my technology allow me to do what it is that I originally purchased it for, and how do I become more effective with my technology? And then the third one probably is along the lines of training. Are we giving enough training? What kind of training do we need to be giving? How can we change our training? Looking for that magic time frame that allows us to get our employees ready to handle customers. And then the fourth one, and the one that I probably focus on more than any in my practice, is the concepts of frontline managers. You know, I started out 20-something years ago as a frontline manager, and I just know that those people are trying to figure out how do they get better at what they do. That person that has 15 to 20 people reporting to them, how do I manage what's expected of me from my manager and from my company in line with what I need to do with the 15 to 20 people that report to me?
Okay, Bob, so if frontline managers are a key to success, what are several key elements for their success?
I believe the most important aspect of the frontline manager is their ability to build relationships with the people that they work with. Now, oftentimes people will say, well, I don't want to get too close to my employees, and I'm not talking about necessarily having a beer with them on Friday night. I'm talking about knowing who they are as a person. If you think for a moment about a coach in an athletic environment, that coach wants to know everything about that player that he can know. He wants to know what his strengths are. He wants to know what his weaknesses are. He wants to know, can he go to the right? Can he go to the left? Is he fast enough? They want to know what his mindset is. Is he emotionally into the game? Is he mentally prepared for the game? And so if you think about an employee from that standpoint, what we typically do is we'll train that employee, we'll bring them out to the floor, we give them some parameters of which they need to talk on the phone, and then we expect that frontline supervisor to guide them inside those parameters. But that frontline supervisor really needs to understand more about that player or that employee in order to guide them in the direction that they need to go. So I think the key is, do we know our employees? Do we know the values and the strengths and the weaknesses of the person that's reporting to me? And I'll give you an example. I was at a call center down in Panama several years ago, and talking with a frontline supervisor and spending some time with our employees. And our attempt was to say, can we improve sales in this group of 20 people that are on the phones? And when we talked to the frontline supervisor about going over right before I went over to talk to Carlos, who was one of the agents, I said, so what? Tell me about it, Carlos. She says to me, you know, Carlos, I can't figure out, because Carlos would get a bonus every single quarter if he would just come to work. And I've talked to him about it. I just can't get him to come to work. So I walk over. I sit down with Carlos at his desk. I immediately look on his screen, and I see that he's got a photo of a model car up in front of him. So we talk about business. I listen to a couple of phone calls, and in a minute I ask him, so what's that on your screen? I can't explain the difference in his body language and how he set up the eyes, the look in his eyes, as he began to tell me that he was the number two model car enthusiast in the whole country of Panama, and that he had every aspiration to be number one by the end of the year, that he was working on a new car. So we talked about the car, him getting decals online and all the things about it, and I asked him, how much does it cost? and he said it cost $500. Now, $500 sounds like a lot of money, but let's show you what the real impact is. He's in Panama, the country. He's working in a call center. His annual salary is somewhere around $6,000. So that $500 is almost 10% of his annual salary. So if you think about that for a moment, how important is that to him? What is his passion in life? So I go back to the supervisor. I say, hey, do you know anything about Carlos and the model cars? And, of course, her answer was, I don't know what you're talking about. And so it struck me that, well, you don't really know Carlos and what his value, what his importance is. But I told her, I said, what if you talked to Carlos about the fact that if he would just come to work, he would actually be able to build an extra model car every year? Well, you, of course, know the story, the end of the story, because I'm telling it here on the podcast, and that is that she had the conversation with Carlos. She understood what his value and what his personal importance and passion in life was, and Carlos began to come to work. And, in fact, a year later, he indeed collected his bonus that was very comparable to being able to build another model car that year. So with just that key little piece of information about who he was, that supervisor was able to coach from a different perspective. So I think those personal relationships really do matter. It's not about the relationship. It's about being able to understand who the employee is and then being able to use that to help that employee get better personally.
I think that's a great story that illustrates the power of understanding the passion of each of your employees. How does a manager going to go about learning what drives their employees?
Randy, when we're presenting this in a training environment, we have a particular test that we give. Of course, it doesn't translate in a podcast. But the point of the test is to say, do you know who your employees are? Do you know just the basics of what's important in their life, what's happened in their life, what's going on in their life? And then what you have to do is begin to collect that information over time. Now, let me give you this example. Recently, my entire family went on a Disney cruise. And on a Disney cruise, you eat at three different restaurants throughout the 3 nights that you're on the boat. But the same waiter or the same wait staff goes with you from each restaurant. So you eat at the theme restaurant on Monday night, and you eat at the steak restaurant the next night, and so on. But your waiter actually goes with you from the different restaurants. So the first night we sit down, he comes over, introduces himself. Of course, he's got more time than the average waiter. He talks to us about our day, how are things. And over the course of the meal, we ordered a Diet Coke with lemon, a Diet Coke, a water, and I guess my son ordered a regular Coke. And so through the course of the meal, there were other things that happened. Like, for instance, they had the best flatbread I've ever tasted in my life. And so I kept saying to the waiter, hey, bring me some more of that flatbread. So you're on cruise, you can eat as much as you want. So I kept having him bring flatbread. We got down to the dessert time, and my wife commented that chocolate was by far her favorite, and that she absolutely loved chocolate. So the dinner goes on, everything's normal. The next night we move to the next restaurant, and we sit down, and in walks the waiter. And when the waiter walks in, he has on his tray a Diet Coke with lemon, a water, a Coke, and a Diet Coke. And in his hand is this basket of nothing but flatbread. He sits it down on the table, and I'm thinking, well, that was a little cool. He remembered who we are and what we wanted in life. And so as he began to take our order, he looks at my wife and says, now, let me tell you, Miss Furness, chocolate tonight is on the menu, and it's the best chocolate dessert we have anywhere on the boat. So you absolutely want to make sure you order this. And when he came back the next time, he began to talk to us about, so how was your scuba diving today? And I'm thinking, well, I didn't tell you anything about scuba diving. And then I thought, well, yeah, last night we were talking about it. So I'm sitting there at the table. I'm trying to figure out what in the world is this waiter doing to be able to remember, because he's waiting on 10, 15 other tables. And so I start tracking him and watching what he's doing. And I walk over to his little area where he's setting everything up, and I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, okay, I'm in customer service and you've just given us some of the best customer service I've ever had. I have to know, how did you remember all those things? And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out this little red journal and he opens it up to the page, and on the top is my name, my kids' names, and various things that we had been talking about. And he was a little embarrassed by it, but he said, this is how I get to know the people that I'm going to serve for 3 nights. Well, now think about that for a moment. you've got a waiter who's only going to be in my life for 3 nights. He's figured out that if he can get to know me as a customer, that I become a better customer to him. And obviously, at the end of the boat, I'm going to put more money in his tip jar. Now, think about that from the perspective of a call center manager. Why is it that we don't collect that kind of stuff on the employees that work for us? We have 15 to 20 people working. People move in and out of the organization, and yet we don't really know that employee. So yeah, it's okay. You can write that stuff down. Now, you shouldn't walk over and, you know, staccato ask every person, can you tell me what's most important in your life and write it down on a piece of paper. This is stuff that you gather over time. But that Disney waiter had invested in us as customers by understanding who we were. And just like I was telling you before with Carlos, it's important that we understand who the employee is, what their value is, what's important in their life. Is it grandchildren? What's their passion? Is it their grandchildren? Is it their model cars? Is it skiing on the weekend? Is it a music? What are those things that we then can weave into the conversation from a personal standpoint so that we can help them become better from a business standpoint?
Excellent example, Bob. You know, we like to offer our listeners a way to gain additional knowledge after the podcast. And I know in your seminars you tell managers they need to invest in themselves and read at least one book per month. What are the books that you're recommending these days?
I do believe that you got to invest in yourself, and obviously you're already doing that by listening to this podcast, but I challenge people to say, what are you reading right now? What is the book that you're reading that's improving you as a manager and preparing you for the next level? Now, sometimes we need a novel because we just need to escape away from the day-to-day, but we also need to focus on some great business books. Two books I'll recommend. First of all, I'll recommend anything from John Maxwell. I think he's just a prolific writer about leadership, but his Winning with People is a fantastic book and gives you a lot of details about how to do that. Another one that I just read was The Starbucks Experience, which is, if you're a Starbucks fan like I am, will give you some insight into what goes on at Starbucks. But what's interesting about it is it gives you 5 principles of customer experience, and it's really interesting how those 5 principles translate into a call center. So, great book. Of course, you mentioned my book before. My book, Ideas for Work, is written specifically to the call center. It's written in a format that you can just sort of pick it up, find an idea, go try it, see if it works kind of format. All 3 of those books are probably good opportunities for your next read.
Excellent. Well, Bob, it's been great talking with you today. And I wanted to let our listeners know that Bob has a new in-house half-day seminar called Operation Impact, a program that's designed specifically to address the daily struggles of the frontline manager. You can find more about this program and other happenings with Bob at www.bobfurniss.com. That's BOBFURNISS. And on that website, you'll find in the top right-hand corner that you can sign up for his newsletter. You'll find his contact information, information on the seminar, and I would imagine, Bob, there's information on your books on that site as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So make sure you check out bobfurniss.com, and I also want you to encourage you to check out Bob's blog on customerthink.com, where he is one of the top-rated authors on the Customer Think site. So you'll find all these links and other information in the podcast notes as well. We hope you enjoyed listening to today's podcast, and we look forward to having you join us for the next episode of CINCOM Contact Center Insights. Goodbye for now.